It is Friday the 6th of April, and this is episode 114 of Digital Outbox. Welcome to another episode. I'm Chris, and Ian's here. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Chris.
How are we all doing? Well, we've just chatted for ages. I know exactly how you're doing.
Exactly. Everything's right with the world.
If not, we just put it to right.
Pretty much.
As we do.
I still think the best bit of the podcast is a half hour before we start that we don't record.
We never record it. Yeah, we need to start doing a pre-show. You'll hear swear words. Let's get on with some news. Girls around me.
I wish.
I'm here right now. but this was an app that got put out into the wild, which basically you loaded it up, pressed a button, and it showed you girls who had checked in around the location that you were in. Gave you your profile pictures, gave you, you know, potentially if they're Facebook profiles were open, it told you all sorts of things about them: birthday, name, favorite things, likes,
schools. So you can turn around and say, "Oh, you didn't go to, you know, like in Stoneham High School, did you?" Oh yeah, I
birthday.
Did.
All powered by basically Foursquare's check-ins, Facebook's user profiles, all legitimate in effect, but ended up making an application that had pretty, I guess, or could, I mean, okay, we know why the app was made, but it could be used in a sinister way, basically.
Well, the thing that was a bit, I mean, the developer straight away said this was about finding out what the social parties and where the kind of hot nightclubs are happening.
So why not
about
people
you.
Around me?
and within the app, you could seemingly pick girls or boys. But if you looked at the app's startup screen, it was basically women pole dancers. So there was, we know what you're doing. We know what this is about. As you've said, all it really highlighted was people are fairly, I guess, don't really appreciate that some of the security settings they've got. And it's the kind of sneaky ones, like, you know, if you don't set your properties properly, you could check me in somewhere. You know, so yeah. You might not be sharing your location at all. You might not be doing anything, but your friend might. And you're not realizing that information's out there.
Yeah, we've kind of said this before, that quite a lot of the time you have information out in the wild and it's not used nefariously or whatever. But this is kind of the first time, I guess, it's bringing to the attention the amount of information that's up there. And as soon as you start mashing things together, suddenly you get a map with a list of people on it showing exactly who they are, where they are, and how long they've been there.
And it was a whole... And as you've said, it's on your Facebook profile anyway, so with a bit of effort, you could have went and found these things. But it's the fact that at a tap of a button, you got somebody's profile and all their details and their friends, you know. I guess in the wrong hands, somebody could easily be, you know, make up quite a good story and bump into people and get friendly with people and who knows what.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
Doom and gloom, however. We're all being really negative about this, but it's a horrible app.
But anyway, Foursquare took away their API access, basically, and that destroyed their app, and therefore they had to take their app down.
Yeah, everybody thought Apple would take it. And it's funny, for all Apple's wholesome kind of image that they check all these apps and you need to go through a whole load of vetting, this seemed to get through pretty easy.
So from one person trying to look at what you're doing, now the government wants to see what you're doing as well, and we may not have an API withdrawal ability in this case. So the government have come along this week and basically reignited their desire to be able to track emails, social communications through Twitter and Facebook, in the kind of same kind of way that they track phone calls currently. So not the actual content of the phone. Their reassurances are that they're not trying to get the content of these communications stuff. All they want to know is the start point, you know, who sent it, who did you send it to, and when did you send it? A little bit like a phone statement is what I guess the analogy is.
Yes.
So you don't see the actual content of the calls, but you do get to see I've sent an email to Ian on April the 6th. you know.
I don't know why I looked at the date to make sure you got the right date. But I was like, why did I do that?
Have I got an email?
So Labour tried to bring in something similar. I think it was 3 years ago, actually, he says, looking at the show notes. The big difference seems to be that they wanted to store all this in a central database. So the government this week, especially Lib Dems, I've been trying to portray this as this isn't as bad as Labour, emphasise there's not a central database holding all this information. And I don't really see the difference, whether it's a database holding it or not. It's the same kind of breach of privacy.
If they are genuinely saying that, you know, they you're not allowed to look at the content of these communications, or the content's not stored in the same way, it's no different from a, you know, the police looking at someone's phone statement, really, is it?
But I guess it's the impact. There's two things I don't get. It's the impact on the, so that people have been talking about ISPs are going to be obliged to keep a lot of information, so they're currently having to do 12 months worth of web access and email and internet phone calls, and that's under an EU directive from 2009, which I wasn't aware of. But seemingly they have, if you're an ISP, you must maintain that data set for 12 months currently. Now, how is this going to be brought in if I'm using an email server that's in New Zealand?
Well, you're still going via ISP, so
yeah. But is it all, and this is what I don't understand, is this all going to be placed on the ISP to monitor and track?
Well, they're the common point of access, so you'd have thought that is exactly, yes, your access through your ISP would then log it. When I first heard this, I kind of swore loudly in the car and told the world that they're all nasty people and
for some reason Benton came out of my head right away.
But then I guess I did listen to the arguments for and against, and mostly I'm still against it. But the fact is that they use this surveillance information anyway, currently on phones and things like that, so they can already get this type of information, and it's not enhancing their rights as far as getting access to the actual content. They still need a warrant if they want to do that. The biggest change is the fact that they will be able to monitor in real time rather than retrospectively looking up records. The fact that it's logging your Facebook messages and who you're sending those messages to and things like that, it does start getting a little bit creepy.
It just feels very invasive, and that's why I go back to, I don't see this fact that there's not a database there is making a particularly big difference. You know, if somebody wants to monitor exactly what me and you're doing right now, by the time this law is passed, they will be able to.
For all that we kind of bemoan these other countries around the world who are monitoring their citizens and blocking them, it's a bit like Animal Farm. At the end, you start looking left and right and you can't really notice the difference between what we're doing and what they're doing. It's becoming very, very similar.
We seem to think because we've got free speech in the press and we can maybe write what we like in a blog that, oh, we've got a nice open society. Well, we can't do that though, can we?
Because if you write things in blogs and tweet things out now,
absolutely,
you're not free to say what you want. Of course you're not allowed to.
No, I also thought it was pretty ironic that Gove has spent many months trying to make sure that his emails, these are private emails, so he was using his own email address, or he's using some of the people working for him were using private email rather than government email address to do government business. He's been desperately trying to make sure that they stay private, and he lost that. And it just seems ironic that a government has spent so much time and money trying to make sure things like that are hidden, are equally wanting to, you know, track so much about what we do. And also it seems odd that, I mean, the Lib Dems and the Conservatives voted against the Labour
policy
3 years ago, you know, and it's like, come on.
The thing is, though, it's an easy thing to vote against when you're not in power, isn't it? Because it's popular not to, hey, these people want to sneak on, spook on,
is this like one, or is this a group of, you know, civil servants that are really just driving this policy? And they'll just keep on going until it gets passed. Who knows? And that's the bit that's all a bit murky for me. Where's it all coming from?
I think it's coming from the fact that they used to be able to do this with phones, and now we don't communicate via phones or in the same way. So they have to find another way of getting that information. Otherwise, they can't do what they need to do. Watch us. Twitter, they're suing spammers, apparently.
Great.
News to me.
Finally.
How do you define spammer?
Do something.
If I write a load of junk up there, am I a spammer? Because my tweets are really quite rubbish.
I think I would define a spammer as two things. One, if they follow me and then start offering me sexual services within the first 2 minutes, they clearly don't know
they're spammers?
Haven't met me. Yeah.
Oh.
And two, I define a spanner. Let's not go talk about spanners.
Let's define spanners.
A spammer, see the amount of people that tweet along to like a live event and tweet about 20 times within the space of an hour. It's like, are you watching this? You know, it's like you're...
Yeah, that did happen to me. A few accounts were tweeting on the Oscars and stuff, and really, I just wanted them to shut the heck up.
Yeah.
In other words.
I really like clients that have mute filters. So Tweetbot on the iOS devices and whatever I use in the iMac, can't remember, as Fura, allow you to mute.
Shush now, basically. You need a shush now button.
And it's just, exactly, it's just mute for a day. Just
maybe
be
we
quiet.
Should define a new tag in Twitter that you at to someone, put this new tag or whatever in that says... Yeah, and it's like it builds up a little graph that says your tweets are really annoying this many people.
but my graph might be permanently high.
Well, that's the risk you're taking.
But that's like having an unlike button.
Yes.
But anyway, back to the finally, Twitter are actually going to sue spammers. So they're taking five aggressive spammers to court in America.
Is it the actual spammers or is it the tools that they use to spam?
I think it's a combination of spammer or tool and service. So that they believe by taking these five to court, they will be shutting down a vast, vast majority. I've always kind of hated Twitter spam because it seems so obvious when you look at the spam that comes through. You know, it looks as soon as you read it, it's spam. So surely something programmatically must be able to get a fairly high hit rate on this spam.
I don't notice that much spam, to be honest. But then I use Twitter very much as just to keeping in touch with friends and following a few major accounts. Does the timeline, and if you're searching for stuff, I guess that's where spam search shows up more.
No, I get these spammy at replies. So I'm not following them, they're not following me. And you'll get this bizarre, I tweeted the other day about my boiler not working. And some boiler company down south starts saying, Oh, Axe Reaper's got problems with these boilers. Yeah. And you're like, sort it off. Stop using
that
might my name.
Just be good marketing.
Yeah. Well, I hit the spam button as soon as I saw that. And that's another thing I like about the clients now. Most of them have easy ways of just saying spammer. And I'm sure Twitter they won't just do it on one. I'm sure if somebody hits spam against my account, I don't get shut down straight away. There'll be some sort of, you know, there's a few people identified it as a spam account. So anyway, well, finally Twitter are doing something.
Whether they'll be able to actually do anything about it, who knows? But we'll see. Game, the ongoing game saga. They've been rescued. They've been bought by the same group that bought Dixons. Was it Dixons or Comet?
Comet.
Sorry, Comet. So they're a specialist in retailers. Chances are they just paid a nominal fee and took on all the debts and problems. But effectively, the 333 stores that are still open are safe, and the jobs in those stores are also safe. So good news on that front. The website's back, and my order for Ghost Recon apparently is still alive at the same price. So it's good in that respect.
Do you think they'll do anything different?
I think they're going to have to do something, aren't they?
Mm.
What they'll end up doing, I don't know. Certainly, they... In-game trade prices, I noticed the other day, were a lot higher. They were accepting trade prices about double the amount what they were doing before.
Interesting. So is that doing that just to drive traffic back to the shops?
Maybe to get people back into the store, because it was certainly a big sign outside. So they were offering like 35 quid for Mass Effect. Now, obviously, they're short on Mass Effect because they didn't sell it. But that's an awful lot of money for a trade-in game, you know?
It is. Especially, it's been, I guess, there'd be online places you could have bought it for 35.
Mm, yeah. Obviously, you lose the online pass, and that would annoy a lot of people, but there you go.
Grr.
But anyway, good to see them stay on the high street at least for a bit.
Yes. That's a lot of jobs. Let's not forget the job. It's over 3,000 people. lot
yeah,
of jobs.
Yeah, I shouldn't forget the people that already lost their jobs. They must be feeling a bit gutted. But Foxconn. Always Foxconn.
Well, it's always game and always Foxconn at the moment.
A new report into the working conditions hasn't turned out to be that shiny.
No, well, there's some health and safety. Well, there's major health and safety risks, but one of the biggest ones came out was basically excessive hours and some examples of unpaid wages. So some of the excessive hours were ridiculous. Apple commissioned the Fair Labour Association to do this survey. Foxconn seemingly fully supported it. And what's come out is that Apple and Foxconn have said, you know, we need to take action. They're reducing the overtime available to people. They're going to employ more people. And I guess it's just the way things are. But, you know, some of the people affected, you know, that have had their overtime hours reduced straight away said, we're quite happy doing this. We want to do this. We want to earn the money.
Well, they want the money because they don't have enough money to do, you know, to get by in this world.
But I should have put an update in the story. Seemingly Apple are guaranteeing that the money they earned before, but they will still earn, but with reduced hours.
Right.
So it looks like they are trying to address that kind of early rate issue.
It seems very much like the start of a kind of fair trade type situation going on with foreign, you know,
I'm sure we talk
factories. There's so much focus on this one factory, and this, you know, there's far worse things going on. And it's a bit frustrating that they do focus on it. But then again, it might be a bastion. It might be that beacon that you need to actually shine the light on. You know, why things are so cheap when we get them from China.
But I don't know. There is some reporting in the kind of tech industry. It does seem a bit, I don't know, a bit sensational sometimes. There's like a BlackBerry party through the week and a guy gets stabbed and people were demanding, why isn't BlackBerry making a statement? And this is terrible for BlackBerry. And it's like people get stabbed every day. The fact that it was a BlackBerry party, is it really a slur in that BlackBerry name?
Did we ever mention the fact that BlackBerry are going out of the consumer market on our podcast? I can't remember whether we did. Because they are. they're leaving the community. They're heading for business only.
I seem to remember that I was going to put it in, and then because it was neither confirmed nor denied, there seemed to be this, you know, BBC were saying they were out, Verge were saying they're not out.
Okay.
And then a couple of days later, BlackBerry spokesman says, we're not out, but we're focusing on the kind of executive and the corporate market and not the consumer market. And everybody knows the consumer market is where the money is. I just think they're stuffed, whatever.
Whichever way they go.
I just didn't have the heart to add it in that BlackBerry is stuffed.
But there you go. It's funny that we didn't mention it at all. iPad. So all these tired workers, this is bad. That's a bad segue.
that's like Henry talking about the explosion and saying, never mind, I got my iPad too.
Pretty much. Apparently Wi-Fi models of the iPad have actually suffered some Wi-Fi issues. Apple have acknowledged it.
But this is an important bit. Only those made by tired workers. But yeah, seemingly, that's class. Seemingly, it's Wi-Fi only. And there's an AppleCare statement that has went out to employees that if it is definitely down to hardware, not software. And there is seemingly a bit of proving going on where people are taking devices out and saying, look, mine's is worse than this other one. And they are pulling them back and doing a full replacement on them. So I don't know if it's an early batch. It sounds like Apple are still trying to get to the bottom of what's the cause of it is.
So if you have weak or poor Wi-Fi connectivity on your iPad, it's the third generation iPad, we should point out as well. It has nothing to do with the old ones. Then it's definitely worth having a call up. You might get a new one.
And one of our listeners, John, he believes he's getting problems. So he compares his new iPad to his old iPad 1. And side by side, it's definitely a worse reception than the iPad 1. So he'll be taking it back to the iPad store.
You go, John.
Hopefully getting it addressed. That wasn't condescending sounding at all. No, well, it's very easy. It can, you know straight away as soon as you use these devices whether you're worse or better off. No,
my Galaxy S is rubbish on Wi-Fi.
Really?
Trojan, I've moved to Mac. I moved to Mac. You tell me I'm going to be safe from viruses. This is a pristine place. All those jibes at how unsecure Windows is, and now I'm under the threat of a Trojan. What's going on, man?
Do you know, you sound like people I work with. You seem to think whenever there's an iPhone, iPad, or Mac problem, somehow it's my fault. So somehow I have control over what is happening in the Mac world.
You are responsible.
It's me and Steve Jobs. So this has been talked about for quite a while, and it's a Java insecurity. So Apple have released a Java update that fixes the problem. But a Russian security firm called Dr. Web claims that around 600,000 Macs are affected, mostly in America. And this is all from this flashback botnet, which has come under various forms because it keeps on, you know, as soon as it's kind of patched or fixed, there's another little tweak and it goes out again. I guess the surprise is it's not. I think a lot of people assume it's only if I put on pirated software or only if I, you know, visit porn sites, but seemingly it's there's some well-known sites, you know, dlink.com is serving it up.
So it sounds like, and a compromised website can deal that out. So if a big site has become compromised without them knowing.
I was a bit dubious about the numbers because we've heard lots of like stories in the press before about, oh, there you go, there's a big Trojan on the Mac, and it's been noise. It's I'm not saying it's a made up story, but somebody's exaggerating the numbers. In practice, it's come to nothing. And this one number seems really high, and not many people are talking about it. You know, as in the tech press, there's not been more made out of it.
Could just mean that no one knows about it.
No, that's true. There's a couple of people actually tweeting. You know, some a couple of well known people. We should have said there's instructions on F-Secure, so you can just go to your command prompt terminal. That's what I get for messing around in command prompt at work today. You can go to terminal and just type in a couple of commands, and it'll tell you straight away whether they've got it or not. And they've been surprised they've actually had it and didn't realise, just because it's coming in through. There's a couple of things. Make sure you update often, or else disable Java. Who needs Java?
My company. Needs Java.
Disable Java.
Don't tell people to disable Java.
The more I hear about this story, disable Java sounds like I might just put that up as our banner on the website this weekend.
Don't disable Java. Google Project Glass. Again, another with so close to being an April Fool joke.
I meant to mention April Fool. Because I hate April Fool, especially now, especially in the kind of techie industry, because so many, well, even in the last week, because if you look at all the political stories of the last week, all the crazy stuff about, you know, fuel and like, you know, Pastygate and all that kind of stuff, the stuff that came out on Sunday was more sane than the rest of it. It was like...
They were just a little bit quirky. Yeah.
And Google had about 12 stories all to themselves.
They must have like spent the last... Because they made some proper quality videos as well. About
Everyone was like a product launch.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very funny. But this one, Project Glass, is apparently not an April Fool joke. We have mentioned it before. What?
It is.
What? Project Glass is?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not. But that shows you how ridiculous it is.
It really is. So these imagine sunglasses without glass.
So imagine sunglasses, but you can see out them during the day.
with sunglasses without glass, and then a kind of bar going across the top of them with a little tiny little screen that kind of hangs down in front of your eye, and they're.
No wonder your drawings are sometimes a bit bad.
They're sometimes awesome as well. So yeah, imagining this picture. Anyway, basically they're trying to hang a little screen and do a heads up display for you as you're walking around. And they've got this in action and they're testing it, as far as I can tell.
They announced it. So this, I think it was New York Times did something 3-4 months ago talking about this. You know, Project Glasses or Project Glass or whatever was coming out. And it sounded very futuristic. It's a bit like the autonomous driving. And
was this the one where they said eventually your head twitching to select won't even become very noticeable?
Yes. Okay. And it was Nick Bilton again. I had the kind of exclusive this week that says, well, that they're now actually going to start testing it in real life. You know, so you will see people walking around with it. And Sergey Brin was spotted at a conference yesterday, and he was wearing it almost on top of a normal pair of glasses. So he had his normal glasses, and he had this little glass square rectangle. Or can't be a square rectangle, but glass rectangle just at the top. Now, it looks as if it doesn't get too much in the way. But see, when
it
I want
like
to,
you're gonna have to look up to actually see
yeah.
this stuff.
It's and weird. Another bit I don't get. See, if I want to use the phone, I get my phone out of the pocket. I don't have it permanently like with me at all times. And they've put out that kind of concept video. Have you seen the video?
Yes.
And I watched that. And first of all, I thought, okay, that's the Kindle music, because it is the Kindle music from 4 years ago. But everybody's calling it the Google music. But that was the Kindle advert music.
Okay.
Anyway. Notwithstanding that, it just looks crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's that kind of, they're at that stage of it's a concept video, a bit like when Microsoft did that concept for the tablet that they made.
And
it all
looked
amazing. But when you actually try and physically put this into practice and make it usable for a user, and actually so the user knows what they're doing, it just don't work like that. And the reality of this will be pretty ugly, I imagine.
I think Google has cemented itself as a new Microsoft.
You reckon that's, yeah.
I honestly looked at it and there's a few people this week saying this is going to be our new communications device. And am I really going to randomly walk down the street looking in all over the place and then say, take a photo?
And they did an example of you actually getting directions and then getting directions inside of a shop. And the reality of that's going to be you walk into a shop and first of all, you'll probably know it's not big enough to get lost anyway, but then if it does have those details in, or you know, you're going to walk in and say, where's this? I don't know, because this store isn't on my list of things. In fact, you haven't got a Wi-Fi signal, so actually I can't do anything right now.
And also I'm Scottish, so it won't understand what I say.
I can't understand what the hell you're saying anyway.
I still want a pair.
I, you know what? They've got self-driving cars. They've now got these. You can see they've got this vision of this world, and we'll see whether they can get there. Be interesting.
But it's a bit like the Google conferences every year. What are they called? The ones in the summer that are 2 or 3 days long.
Ones.
Yeah. I'm convinced that out of the last three conferences, nothing's actually been released. All the stuff they talk about, apart from the Android, here's the software that's coming.
Yeah, but even that doesn't get released on everything, does it? No.
yeah, not grr. But a lot of the hardware stuff they talk about just never comes out.
Guess because it just takes a long time to do it. But yes, you're right. They do seem to talk a lot, and then
it's like an episode of Tomorrow's World. I'm waiting for Maggie Philbin to start presenting at the next Google I/O.
Whatever happened to Maggie?
Oh, she's still kicking around, I think.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You never know, do you? So let's not go there. HTC One X and HTC S.
One S.
One S. They are now on sale. This is HTC's revamped phone set, and very nice they look too, and fantastic reviews they've been getting.
The reviews were off the scale, just like best phones ever.
I mean, the phone looks awesome. It's almost like a black phone embedded into a kind of white. I mean, the version I saw had a white plasticky back, or I'm not sure what it's made of actually, because they said that the quality of it was pretty amazing. And it does look super sleek.
I think it's the first phone review that I've read that the words high quality plastic didn't put me off. It looked really good.
They've got a nice phone in it. Sorry, a nice camera, although they're saying the camera's not its strongest point. But basically, you can buy it on where you can get it, O2, Vodafone 3, Orange. So all the big, T-Mobile as well. So all the big ones have got it. And now they're selling it. You can buy it SIM-free as well for Amazon if you want. But it's cost £490 basically.
But it did look Ouch. It did look a generational step up from everything else out there at the moment. It literally looked good.
Big thing was saying that the screen's almost retina like with its resolution.
Oh, so I think they are saying it's a retina. That is a proper retina display on it. And also just the quad core chip on it. It's just everything flies.
Wonder whether it gets hot. Keeping on Android, Instagram's launched on Android now. So if you want to put some filters on your photo and share them out via any social network, you can do that with Instagram.
I added this story for a reason. Not because everybody knows Instagram, even if you're an Android user. No, I hate it. Was the snobbery I hated. I'm sounding like an Android lover today, and I know this is a rare moment. But there was it was like your Groobers and your I can't even remember the guy's name. But there's a few of them were talking about. I've taken the same photo with an Android device and an iPhone, and you can see the difference. I can see photos, and it's really uglifying my Instagram feed.
It's funny when I take the same photos that you take with an iPhone with a Nikon D90, I can tell the difference too. And your iPhone is crap.
I just looked through it and I was like, what a bunch of snobs. There's even one tweet was like, oh, I now see the phones that poor people have to use.
Oh yeah,
that's... and you're like, come on.
That makes you rage.
Well, the thing is, when there's an HTC One X, it's unlocked, it's £500.
Yeah.
A poor person can't afford that.
But it has got quite a bad camera on it, it said.
Although I did read a story. I've just remembered the story that I read today. Remember we were talking earlier on about sensational stories. The story of a guy in China sold his kidney for an iPhone.
That's
I'm sure people have sold kidneys for drugs, and that's far worse.
Yeah.
I'm sure at least he's got a shiny toy out of it. Anyway. Moving along,
Olympics overload. So it seems like we're going to get 24 high definition TV channels from the BBC over the Olympic period to watch every single sport live in HD. Now, I'm tempted to get 24 Sky subscriptions and 24 screens and just have surrounded by the Olympics. I love it.
You too can work in television centre.
Yeah, I mean, that is going beyond the pale. And never seen anything like that before. No. I was pretty happy at the last Olympics when you had the red button and you had the online streaming. This is just taking it to another level.
And they had talked about putting this content online before and be able to select it. And I thought, that's going to be quite sweet, select any event, that's currently happening today, so if you are a massive follower of badminton and that's not getting the coverage because athletics is on, at least you can go and watch that. And I thought that's going to be really good. But this is crazy. And when Sky signed up first, but it's going to come to Freesat and Virgin Media. But the best bit is Sky's going to launch 48 new sports channels for the Olympics because they're going to show it in SD as well.
You know when they started putting the HD channels and all the SD channels started suffering because of the bandwidth? I'm wondering whether having an extra 40-odd channels is going to actually make the HD quality quite low. I don't know how much bandwidth spare they've got.
I would just be quite happy just having 24 channels so I can pick what I watch.
I think this is brilliant. I mean, the problem is going to be that you can't record it all, you can't watch it all, so it's all going to... I hope they sort of sit and repeat some of the stuff on those channels as well. Anyway, brilliant. I don't think that's ever been seen. I'd be surprised if that's been seen anywhere around the world, coverage of the Olympics like that.
Well, the scary thing is with Sky, you've got you can record one and watch one. You could have Sky go in two devices, so that's another two channels.
So I could actually be watching, recording and watching sort of five things at once.
BBC are going to stream all these online as well. So you're up at 6 or 7.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, it's bonkers. I mean, it's too much, yet it's nice to have that option.
You never have too much.
Never have too much. Virgin, naughty Virgin. We've only been hearing bad things about Virgin recently. They're going to start throttling users now. So they pretty much... it's almost like the bad old days. So they've gone through their advertising campaign of we're not going to throttle anyone, and we seem to be coming out the other side to back to the situation of, yeah, we're going to throttle heavy users again.
Basically, they put their advert up where you're saying Bolt and says, we're doubling our average speed. Aren't we fantastic? Aren't we the best company ever? And ever since, they've stuffed us over.
Yeah, but it costs a lot to hire Usain Bolt.
However, we need to... perspective is required. I'm going to be in 100 meg at some point this year. And if I download 10, I think it's 10 gig within a 5-hour period, they'll throttle me down to 50 meg. It's
And don't forget, this is only really to catch people like Tam. who goes a little bit mental with his down.
He is one of the original Plusnet 5 or however many there were.
And Plusnet actually have been out on record this week as well, you know, showing their latest set of graphs saying we've got to do something about this. It's getting ridiculous.
Did they have a date back in 2008, which was when Tam left, and all of a sudden it freed up this bandwidth?
The graph suddenly
went. Tam went to sky. Yes.
Excellent. It's only going to affect the top 5%. It always to be this seems to be this top 5%. So you can basically download it, saying about 5 gig during peak time before you get throttled, which I guess would cover most streams and stuff like that.
And it's not just a download; there's an upload cap on it as well. So you could download only a gig, but if you upload more than 6 gig, you'll get throttled back as well.
It's hard to say whether that's good or bad. I guess that covers doing things like watching occasional show and listening to it, you know, things. I guess they're just trying to discourage people from using the internet again, which is what we want.
The network can't cope with it. If everybody was using the speed to its maximum, it's the same for BT. Although there is some talk now that BT seemingly have done a lot of back-end infrastructure work, and I don't know how true that is.
Well, I've got a new connection to prove that they're doing something.
And you're happy, aren't you?
Very happy.
Hey.
Over double the speed up. No, down. Up's not so good. Right. Minecraft makers making a new game. Now, I haven't really caught on to this, so you better explain what's going on.
As host, I'm disappointed that you're shucked away from actually pronouncing the title.
Yeah, because I could just read that out.
0x10c.
Is that how it's pronounced, though?
I have no idea.
Or is it Oxyok?
Or is it 0 × 10⁻⁷? Who knows? But basically, Notch, Minecraft creator, has announced his next game. And it's called 0x10c. So if you go to 0x10c.com, you'll find out all about it. It's going to be done the same way as Minecraft. So kind of developed in public. Early release, it'll be cheap to buy, so it'll be free for single player, but for multiplayer it'll be a small monthly fee, and he will rely on feedback to basically take the game forward. I am super excited,
of course.
Because it's one of his early tweets or one of the early news articles about it mentioned basically a modern day Elite, and I was like, oh.
And it seems like you've effectively in the game you'll have a kind of generator which will give you a certain amount of power, and then everything that you do on top of that, it seems like they're going to give you a virtualized computer.
Yeah, they're going to get a
16-bit computer.
You're going to get a 16-bit CPU.
And then you can build programs and do what you like with that, but only within the power that your generator allows. So it sounds very geeky.
I don't know, he talks about hard science fiction, and there's engineering and space battles and landing on planets and all sorts. And it's like, oh, where is this going to go? This could be massive.
I wonder whether you actually have to program your auto dock. You know when Elite was impossible to play because you cannot have money yet to buy the auto dock.
It was amazing how hard it was for the first day and a half, and then when you got that money, it was like, oh, I'll just press that button.
Let's press C. Sit back and relax. It was easy then. Heady days. Anyway, so yeah, keep an eye out for that because that's sure to be a big one.
And I miss
hopefully
Minecraft.
It's not so geeky it makes it impossible.
I don't think it'll be, my gut feel is, see, because it's so geeky, I don't think it'll have the appeal of Minecraft.
It can't be, because Minecraft's just building stuff with blocks and everyone can see the attraction of that, can yep. they? Or is that just us as well?
No, anybody that's picked up a Lego block, anybody that's messed around with these things just must have fell in love. Did you see the, somebody's done a Babbage computer calculator? In Minecraft.
How?
Oh, I must put it up in the blog. It is.
That's amazing.
I mean, the poor guy obviously never goes out. I think he's got deep vein thrombosis and everything. Because
I was quite
impressed
when someone made one of those inside of Little Big Planet. But to make it in Minecraft, that's impossible.
But it does logarithmic calculations and everything. And it's a graphing calculator as well. It is. I mean, it looks like the size of the UK. it's that big.
Amazing that you can do that. Yeah, cool. Yep. So keep an eye out. That's the end of the news. But Ian, you've got a pick for us.
Yes, yeah, very quick one. It's for iOS. It's called Hero Academy. I stumbled across this from a couple of the Twitter accounts I follow. I think a lot of the guys that write for Tap fell in love with Hero Academy. When you get the game, it's free. So you can download it and give it a try. And there's a lot of the in-app purchases to get different classes and different parts of the game. But it looks like a little... It's kind of misleading. It just looks like a kind of cut-down game of chess. But kind of really well-drawn, cutesy characters. And it looks really simple, but it's actually got quite a lot of depth. Because each of your characters, you can have different power-ups and upgrades, and there's different factions within it as well. Multiplayer support, so you can play... You know, I could just play you right now, you know, almost like a live game. Or it's a bit like Words with Friends. You can do games over days and weeks. And it's now universal. So it's on iPad 2 and has Retina graphic updates. Wow.
Which is important these days.
It is for me, just to be a tart. So it's actually a very, very good game. Highly recommended.
Okay, well, I will download that after this podcast and challenge you.
Oh, don't. I keep losing.
I won't be buying any unlocks, so I don't know if that makes me worse at it. We'll see.
No idea,
Hero
actually.
Academy for iOS. Good stuff. And that is our podcast. As ever, if you want to find out more, you can. DigitalOutbox.com. Email info@DigitalOutbox.com and Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as Cheesy UK. Ian, you are where?
I am on Twitter as Sweeper and my blog is END.net.
Beautiful thing. And we will talk at you next week. Happy Easter.
Ta-ra. That wasn't too bad.
Boom.
Yeah, boom, as the late great Steve's always say. Boom.
Well, I still haven't got to the end of the blooming thing. I'm still listening to it. I'm going in little chunks. He sounds like a cock. Really does.
Yeah.
Really is.
No, that book, he doesn't come out as a nice guy at all.
He's a cock.
Yeah. But it's like I was laughing this week because what's Tim's surname? Tim.
Cook.
Yeah. Ding 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 ding. Tim Cook's approval rating is 97 out of 100, which is 2 more than Steve Jobs. It's like, well, if you read that book, I'm surprised it's even, you know, not higher. Because he looks like an impossible to please tyrant.